I'm Sadhu Banji. I've just given a talk at Matthews Hall, Topsham, to the Topsham Society on the Barbary Pirates of the 17th century.
There were two lofty ships from old England came, blow high, blow low, and so sailed we. One was the Prince of Luther and the other Prince of Wales, cruising down along the coast of high Barbary.
So who were the Barbary Pirates?
They were based on the North African coast, between, roughly speaking, between Morocco on the west and Tunisia on the east. When they captured a ship, they were interested in taking the people for slaves rather than gold or silver or bullion or whatever, or indeed the ship itself. They also made raids ashore, which most of the European pirates did not do. They stayed firmly at sea.
Well, which areas did they raid?
Mainly in the Mediterranean, but they soon went further afield and began to prey off the coasts of England and Ireland, particularly the southwest coast of England.
And you mentioned Cornwall, didn't you?
They did reach Cornwall and they sacked Mounts Bay, taking away many captives, which became slaves.
Yeah, so the slave trade was their thing. How long did their reign last for?
Probably reached its peak in the early years of the 17th century and lasted at least 200 years.
Okay. How feared were they?
They paralysed West Country shipping during the 1630s. The ships were there, the goods were there, the merchants were willing, but they couldn't get anybody to sail their ships. They were so terrified of being captured by the Turks.
Right, and so the slaves that they had went into piracy as well, or where did they go and sail?
A mixture, really. Some of the slaves were reasonably well looked after because they hoped that they would get good ransom money for them. Some with special skills were put to good use, and others were just menial work. Initially, they relied very heavily on oar-driven ships, and the oars being worked by slaves. Later, they'd captured enough English and European shipbuilders to build European-style ships, which were much more manoeuvrable, much faster, and could be much more heavily armed.
And capture the Europeans at the same time to navigate as well around the coast.
Yes. In fact, some of their best expeditions were navigated by local Europeans who'd been captured.
But the answer that we gave them, we sunk them in their sea, cruising down along the coast of
Can you tell me anything about the famous pirate Redbeard?
He was known by many as Barbarossa, and he was invited to Algiers to help in their battle against the Spaniards. This proved to be a grave mistake, because one of the first things that Barbarossa did when he came to Algiers was to kill the Sultan and take over the country himself. He was then killed in battle, and his brother took over, a very able diplomat, an excellent seaman, and it was his brother really who really put Algiers on the map as a slave centre. You didn't go to the supermarket, you didn't in early days go to the smuggler. Before then, you went to the pirate. If you wanted to buy something cheap, you went to a pirate to buy it from. On the other hand, those days soon went, and pirates were increasingly more vicious, increasingly more sadistic. They weren't people chuckling away in what Hollywood thinks is a Devon accent. They became quite nasty people.
This is it. There's always the "arr," isn't there?
Yes.
Was that popularised by movies, do you think, or was that a real kind of expression?
Quite a few were from the West Country, but I suspect that it's in Hollywood.
They're aloft, our jolly boatswain cried.
What kind of things would slaves be put through, or captured people?
One has to bear in mind that some of these accounts may well have been exaggerated, either for political reasons or for other reasons. But the sort of descriptions that came back to England were people being hung up on hooks and burned alive, having their arms and legs smashed over anvils, being walled up and allowed to die of starvation, having slits cut in their arms and shoulders and candles put into them.
Candles?
Yeah, lighted candles, yes.
So sailed we, but there's a lofty ship to windward, and and she's sailing fast and free.
Their tactics of attack, did they have any?
They weren't particularly renowned for their bravery, and if anything, they tended to avoid men of war and went for the poorly armed fishing ships or cargo ships. One popular tactic of them was to try and identify their prey. If it was a Dutch ship, they'd hoist the Dutch flag. If it was a British ship, they'd hoist the Union Jack, and then get as close as they could before opening fire. Another trick they used was to, if they had any captives down below, they'd bring them up on deck, get them to wave and smile, and again, as soon as they got close enough to their prey, they would open fire. The captives would be ushered back down below decks and would be replaced by pirates ready to board the ship they were attacking. One of the best accounts we have of a captive was written by a Lipstone man, Joseph Pitts, who set sail in a ship called the Speedwell and was eventually captured off the coast of Spain and taken to Algiers. Fortunately for us, but perhaps not for him, he went through a succession of three different masters, each of which treated him completely differently. So from the one person's account, we get a very good grasp of the wide range of the ways in which slaves were treated. His first owner beat him brutally. His last one treated him as a member of the family and indeed took him to Mecca. And Joseph Pitts is, so it is believed, the first Englishman to have visited Mecca and returned to give an account of it. Oh, he had a lot of adventures. In fact, he returned very reluctant because he was very fond of his last master. And he knew that if he, even though he was by then a free man, if he attempted to leave the country, he would be burned alive. But he decided in the end to escape. And after a series of adventures and mishaps, he managed to get into English waters. He was immediately taken by the press gang, put into Colchester prison. But luckily, he was able to contact his father, who in turn got the services of an influential merchant. And Joseph was freed and went back to his family. In 1816, Lord Exmouth attacked the city and, in effect, put an end to seaborne slave taking. But in fact, the Algerians carried on taking other slaves. They treated people brutally. And in the end, it was the French who got totally fed up. A part of their sailors had been decapitated in Algiers, and they sent a punitive expedition which deposed the ruler, who, after negotiating a safe passage, went to exile in Naples. And from then on, until relatively recently, Algiers was, of course, a French colony. I'm Sadru Banji. I've just given a talk at Matthews Hall Thompson on the Barbary Pirates of the 17th century.